In the world of sports, one of the most dangerous things is to look past a weak opponent in order to mentally or physically prepare for a following stronger opponent. Preparation for the weaker opponent becomes lax and unfocused, since naturally it is taken for granted that the victory will be achieved. This overconfidence is the downfall of many good athletes and many good teams, for they end up losing to the weaker opponent, taking life for granted and succumbing to the temptation of overconfidence can lead to unnecessary failure. And one can see the results of this, especially in athletic tournaments such as what we're going through right now, the college basketball big dance, which we are in the midst of. Often overconfidence comes to play in such a large tournament. That's why you have so many upsets in that tournament. If you recall, the number one seed, Virginia, last year, was upset by the 16th seed, UMBC. That had never happened before in the history of the tournament. A 16th seed taken and winning over a number one seed. You know, it was later acknowledged that this was caused partially, and maybe more than partially, by being too overconfident. How many students fall or do poorly on an exam because they think they do not have to study, since they feel that they know it all? They learn the hard way that what they thought they knew, or more properly, what it had taken for granted that they knew, was just an illusion. Overconfidence leads them to the reality of life that you cannot take anything for granted. Life is full of examples of the pitfalls of being overconfident. Weeping can become overconfident in relationships and thus take them for granted. Thus, we feel that we do not have to put any real effort in the continuing development of that relationship, no matter how many years you live in that relationship. Worse yet is when we think the relationship can withstand any trial. Therefore, we yield to damaging temptations. The results all too often are hurt and irreparable damage. Becoming overconfident leads to the pitfalls and failures of taking people and life for granted. It is safe to say that no one wants to be taken for granted. That is just plain demeaning. You know, there is nothing new. For man throughout the ages has experienced failure, disappointment, and disaster, not only by being overconfident in earthly endeavors, but also in their spiritual lives. In his letter to the Corinthians, Paul confronted this spiritual overconfidence. He noted that the Hebrews had a history of being overconfident in their relationship with God and felt that they could do whatever they liked, even if it violated God's covenant of love. Paul reminds the Corinthians about all these things which God did to lead his chosen people out of slavery, and then to help them to survive their escape from Egypt. He provided for them, even to the point of promising them their own land, Canaan, the promised land. In spite of doing all this, the Hebrews became overconfident, so as to believe that they didn't have to live within the framework of that relationship in order for God to still be there for them. They took it all for granted, and so they violated that relationship by setting forth other gods, violating his laws, and not trusting in his promises. As I stated before, being overconfident more often than not can lead to devastating consequences, as it did for the Hebrews. Paul writes, "Nevertheless, God was not pleased with most of them, and they were struck down in the wilderness." By putting their relationship with God to the test, they suffered greatly. Their overconfidence in God's covenant with them led them to take all of what God had done for them for granted, thinking that he would overlook their transgressions and their rejection of him. They had pushed their relationship with God too far, which resulted in the loss of a whole generation in the wilderness. They became a people without a home for 40 years. Paul, in his letter to the church at Corinth, warned them that they were heading down the same path of devastation as did the Hebrews. He saw evidence that some were becoming idolaters, resulting in taking up the very attractive pagan practices of the Roman society, which were leading them into hedonistic activities. This was made clear by partaking of the sacrificial meat to the Roman gods. This was, in fact, participating in their sacrificial feasts. These hedonistic feasts would have been very enticing to participate in, and they fell for it. But by their participation, Paul saw that the people were filling themselves with demonic forces, working against God, since the sacrificial meat was thought to have the presence of the Roman gods in it. The deception of following these false gods lured Christians away from Christ, leading them to be seen as demonic. Of course, for the Christian, there is only one God, and to be any way associated with the recognition or serving other gods in life is to take God's grace for granted. This leads to living a false sense of what God's message is all about. If this was not enough to address, Paul also saw that some were bickering, complaining among themselves. If left unchecked, this would have led to disastrous results. A fractured church. They were taking each other's participation in the life of the church for granted and couldn't see where this would have taken them. Egos took control. This would lead to broken relationships, divisiveness, and the destruction of common goals. He saw the church at Corinth as following the same destructive path of the early Hebrews. They had become overconfident that God's grace was so great that it would overlook anything that they did to each other, no less to the body of Christ. This was taking God for granted. They were not following Christ, but compromising their beliefs, their faith, and thus their relationship with Him. Now, this led Paul to warn them in his letters. We must not put Christ to the test. As a warning, he used the example of the Hebrews and their resulting suffering. He needed to show them that they were on a path which could only lead to disastrous results, as did the ancient Hebrews experience. And he wrote, "These things happened to them to serve as an example, and they were written down to instruct us on whom the ends of the ages have come." It is important to note that no matter how strong we believe our relationship is with God, and how much we believe in His love and forgiveness, we are never to take it too lightly. We must never become too confident so as to falsely believe that we have made it and live in His favor. This can very well lead to us to stray away. Relationships are always in the process of finding reality. They must be lived or else they die. To become overconfident in believing that a relationship does not need to be lived, kept up, and practiced is as ludicrous as a team which looks past their next game in order to prepare for a future stronger opponent. Failure and defeat will follow. Paul's words of warning are sufficient. So if you think you are standing, watch out that you do not fall. Take heed, he was saying, for we all fall into the trap at one time or another. We all will test God. We will all test His love. We will all take for granted that which has been extended to us. Now it must be noted that we are not alone, for we are all in the same boat, every one of us. All will fail the test from time to time, for that is an inescapable fact of our humanity. Paul relates, "No testing has overcome you that is not common to everyone. For this reason, God became man in Jesus." He wanted to set the record straight. God's grace is there for us. It is there. When we turn from our overconfident, misguided adventures to the relationship with God that is ever present in our lives, here is where we find the reality of repentance and the power of forgiveness. God is ever present and desires our relationship with Him. Paul wrote, "God is faithful and will not let you be tested beyond your strength. But with the testing, He will also provide the way out so that you may be able to endure it." we bring pain, failure, and despair upon ourselves in our human tendency of overconfidence. But God, through Christ, gives us the way out of the predicament which we have caused. This is the good news. But this good news can only become a reality for us when we realize that we are responsible for testing our relationship with God. His forgiveness is always there if we choose not to test it or take it for granted. We are responsible for what may be seen as any limitation to God's grace, any limitations to his love and forgiveness. It is there. Upon the acceptance of this responsibility that we have, we then come to know God's grace in our lives. You know, this is what Lent is all about, for it prepares us for the joyous message of the empty tomb through the recognition of our failures, our shortcomings, our sin. And when we recognize this, then we overcome being overconfident. Then the empty tomb is joyous for us all. Amen.